when we start talking about resurrection power, it's easy to look at it like a fairy tale. It's easy to look at and say, well, you know, that's for other people, or is that really real? And so John Piper, in his Resurrection Power Now, says, so my message for believers in Jesus is this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and what became of him after his resurrection shows the greatest of God's power toward us in this life.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Anointed with Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Anointed with Prayer.
Of his call. Notice that he says two things here. The eyes of your understanding being open. What does that mean? That means that some people don't understand. It means that there's blinders over their eyes. It means that they really don't see what is available to them. And not only does he talk about the eyes being enlightened, but he said that you might know the hope, that you might know the hope of this power. And so it's interesting that Paul prays for people to know, for believers to know the power that's available to them. Some people don't know it. I shared with you my testimony on one occasion when the power went out in our neighborhood, and I was sitting in my bedroom waiting for the power to come back on. And I sat and said, okay, now Duquesne Light is usually a little more on top of things than this. And so I remembered that I had left my garage door open, and I went to close my garage door. And as I went to, you know, try to close my garage door, I looked, and all my neighbors had electricity. Their lights were on, the neighborhood was lit up. And I sat in darkness all that time. Come to find out, what happened was that a fuse blew in my house and knocked out my power, and all I needed to do was go put the fuse back in. And I sat there all that time. I was ignorant of the fact that I didn't have power. I didn't know that I had power. And I pray today, at least as you come today and you worship today, one of the things that will happen is that you will know that this power is available to you. That you won't be sitting in the dark anymore. Well, you might be. And if you are, if you continue to sit in the dark, it'll be your choice. It'll be your choice. The ignorance of the power. And some of us have the power, but we can't use it. And we don't use it. We know that we got it. And we don't use it. You know, I think of John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest people in the world. He lived on crackers and milk. And the reason that he lived on crackers and milk is because he had a stomach problem and he couldn't eat like he wanted to. And he had guards that stayed outside of his room all the time because he was fearful of somebody coming in. He couldn't sleep. And he had these worries, and here he was, one of the wealthiest people in the world, but yet and still he was miserable. One of the wealthiest people in the world, and yet and still he was miserable. And how is it that God's people have all this wealth and power, and yet and still they are miserable? Yet and still, you live defeated lives. Oh, you know, I'm not saying that we need to go around with a big, stupid grin on our face 24/7. That's not my point. You know, my point is is that when we deal with things in life, that there ought to be a reasonable degree of power that we have to be able to deal with these things, and that these things should not overwhelm us and take us under. That we have within us the ability to be able to stand in the midst of all that we have to deal with and all that we go through. Rockefeller, he had the wealth. He had the wealth, but yet and still he was miserable. And maybe that's your testimony today. You've got the power, but even in having the power, you're ignorant and you're not using it. Today, walk out of here determined that I'm going to walk in this resurrection power. And you know what? Satan will come after you when you make that decision. Evil will come after you. Negative circumstances will come after you. All those things. You know what? Whenever you make a decision for God, and I'm just going to tell you this right now. You know, the worst thing that you can think is that everything's going to be all right now. That's the worst thing that you can think. Because when you make a decision for God, one of the things that's going to happen is that the forces of evil will come against you. And a lot of times they will double up their attack on you. But thank God that we have someone who will walk with us, who will fight with us, and help us to be able to stand in troubling times. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, Lord, thank you. I've got power that you can't see. God is living inside of me. God and I have all the power in the world. God and I are the majority when it comes to dealing with the enemy. Don't be ignorant. Or as is said in certain neighborhoods, don't be ignorant of the power. Know that this power is there. Know that this power is available to you. And the second thing that I want to say is the infusion of the power. The infusion of the power. Notice what he says here in verse 20. We'll go back to verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Again, the same power that raised Christ up from the dead can be infused in you. And you know what? I scratch my head because that's where the fairy tale comes in. What? What? Now, come on, Pastor Glaze. That's, for me, that's really hard to believe. The fact that you're saying in the word that the same power that got Jesus up is in me. That when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came into my life, and the same power that got Christ up came into my life. And you know, a lot of people, you know, talk about, well, you know, I'm trying to get more of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get more of the Holy Spirit. You got all of God when you asked Christ to come into your heart. You got all of God that you were going to get. And now the question is not can I get more of God, but can God get more of me? And the more of me that God gets, the greater this power, this again, you know, what it means for a dead corpse, stone to be infused with life and live again. That's what Jesus did. You know, I heard the story about a man who went to Israel for a trip, and he took his family to Israel. And while he was there, his mother-in-law passed away. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, what they were going to do. And he met with one of the consuls over there, and they said, well, you know, we checked it out, and we can actually bury your mother-in-law here for $150. She can be buried in Jerusalem. And he said, but we priced it out, and it's going to cost $5,000 to ship her body back home. You know, which one do you want to do? And the man said, well, he said that I'm going to ship her back home for $5,000. And the consul said, you must have really loved your mother-in-law if you're willing to pay that amount of money to have her shipped back home. He said, no, he said, that's not it. He said, years ago, I heard about a man who was buried here on the third day, he got up again. He said, and I don't want to take that chance. Infusion of power. That this power was infused in the dead man and raised them back up. Then my third point, and that is the inclusiveness of this power. The inclusiveness of this power. The ignorance of this power, the infusion, the same life that was in Christ has been infused in us, and the inclusiveness of this power. And again, you know, I know that we're not Greek scholars. I understand that. But there's just so much teaching, and there's so much application, and there's so much illustration in these words that I don't want to shortchange Paul in what he was trying to tell us. Notice what he says in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Four times in this one verse, he uses the word power. Four times. And each word is a different Greek word. The first one he uses, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? The word there is dunamis. And that is where we get the English word dynamite from. When you think about dynamite, that's where the English word comes from. It comes from dunamis. And what is dunamis? Dunamis is an enabling power. It is the ability to have power to perform God-given tasks. That if God calls you to do something, he empowers you to do it. And why do we backstep and shuffle and put our head down and say that we can't do stuff that God has called us to do? That God has put within you the ability to do what he calls you to do. I've shared my testimony on many occasions, and some people say, well, Pastor Blaze, I'd heard that story before. Yeah, but there's a whole lot of people that are here today that haven't heard that story. So, you know, when I was in college, I took this class, and I didn't know that a part of the class was going to be public speaking, and we had to give a speech. I guess I should have looked at the syllabus and or looked at the class description and saw it. But I remember I was in this class, and for some reason, I don't know how, you know, usually, you know in school how they go in alphabetical order, so they get all the A's are first, and, you know, G, you know, I thought I'd be right up there at the top. But somehow I got flipped, and I got put on the last day of class. And, you know, I saw people every class getting up there giving a speech, and I just thought to myself, man, you know, one day I'm going to have to get up there and do that. And I really don't want to do that. You know, I really hate to stand up before people and speak. And I saw it coming down, the semester coming to an end, and I saw my name was coming up. And the night before I had to give my speech, man, I couldn't sleep. I was nervous. I was thinking about it. And I just thought about, Lord, I'll be glad when this is over. And I got up to give my speech the next day, and I held my piece of paper, in my hand, and I'll never forget, man, I was shaking like that as I read that speech. And when I got done, you know, and the class ended that day, I went and I said, I'm never standing for people and speaking again. I'm not going to do it. And God has a sense of humor. He who sits in the heaven laughs. And God says, you are going to do it. And he called me to preach his word. Now, the old Bill Glaze, in his own power, could not have done it. You know, I don't know, maybe if you practice something long enough, you get proficient at it. But I'm able to stand in the power of God. And I'm able to stand before you today, knowing that it's not me, but knowing that it's dunamis. It's God's enabling power. And the songwriter said, just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like me and you who are willing to do what he commands. God uses people who will give him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you. Because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. That enabling power. When Jesus got up from the dead, he gave a power to me that transformed a nervous, a shaking college student to a servant who's able to stand in the pulpit and proclaim his word. That's the power of God. That's dunamis power. And then there's the next thing he says is that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working? This word working is another word for power. And that's the word energeo. And that's where we get the word energy from. That this power is an energizing power. This power enables us to be able to live a life for the Lord. It enables us to be able to do the things in life that we need to do and not have to worry about opposition and setbacks. That we have the power to be able to live successful, victorious lives. You know, somebody asked a Christian, how are you doing? And they said, well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? You need to get on top of the circumstances. And this is this power here. This power helps us to be able to do what it is that God has called us to do as far as living our life is concerned. Notice that he goes on to say, mighty. He uses the word mighty, another word for power. Another word. You know, Paul was intentional in here. Why does he use these? How come he just didn't say power and then that's it? How come he just didn't say, you know, you have resurrection power, period, and that's it? Because he was trying to emphasize the different nuances of the power that we have. This power, kratos, is overcoming power. This power is also translated dominion. That you can have dominion over addictions. You can have dominion over bitterness. You know, people talking about, well, you know, somebody did something to me and I just can't let it go. You need some kratos. You need kratos power to be able to overcome that. Unforgiveness, your insecurities, your fears, your self-doubts. This is a overcoming power. It was two families that were constantly at each other, always going back and forth. And one family felt that, well, to reduce some of this tension, we're going to take a vacation. And so they went on vacation. And while they were gone, the other family was sitting outside and noticed that their dog had come from the other side of the fence. And he had something in his mouth. And they looked and they saw that it was the neighbor's pet rabbit. And he had taken the rabbit and chewed it, and the rabbit was dead. And so these neighbors said, well, we know that there's already tension between us. And so, you know, we need to at least maybe let them think that the rabbit died on its own while they were gone. And so they washed the rabbit, cleaned it, wiped off all the blood, you know, gave the rabbit a bath and took a hair dryer and, you know, blew it dry. And then they went and set the rabbit in the backyard. The other family returned from vacation. And when they came back, they heard screaming in the backyard. And they asked, what's wrong? What's wrong? Did your rabbit die? And the neighbor said, before they left on vacation, the rabbit had died and we buried it. And now it's back again. See, overcoming power. You know, God is able to give. He's able to give real life. These neighbors had given, they had given fake life, right? They had given fake life. And when we think that we're going to get victory over our problems through the bottle or through drugs or through holding on to grudges and bitterness, that's fake life. That's life where you've been washed up and somebody took a hair dryer and set you back up again, but you're still dead. You're still dead. The only real life and the only real power comes from Jesus Christ, the overcoming power. And then finally, there's ichthys, and this is God's power. This is a power that only comes from God. This is God's enabling power that he endows upon believers. That this is a power that resides upon us. Paul talked about this in Ephesians 6:10. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This is that resurrection power that has been infused in us that enables us to live the life that God wants us to live. In the book, Who Moved the Stone, Frank Morris said that the women were too weak, and they asked, who moved the stone? The disciples were afraid, and they fled. The Jews wanted to keep him dead. The Romans sealed the tomb. The grave robbers couldn't overpower the guards. The guards protected it under the penalty of death. Only God could roll away the stone. And God sent a mighty angel with the power of God. And the angel rolled the stone away. And Jesus got up so that we could get up. Anointed. Just think. His last act before he went back to glory, he blessed his disciples. And in that blessing, they were anointed with resurrection power.
Thank you for joining us to Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time as we return to our series on prophecy with the first half of the rapture. If you would like to request Anointed with Prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Anointed with Prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Anointed with Prayer from our series on Lent. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.